I'm not going to say anything more than this dude, Justin, on Twitter is about to get reported to Twitter for suggesting that I was too old for Family Matters.
He said you was 57.
Bro.
I'm looking at you.
Just because I said Thundercats, he's like, you've got to be 60 years old. Come on, man.
He did mention some awesome cartoons like Bobby's World, Family Matters.
Family Matters is not a cartoon.
Family Matters is an awesome series. Well, they're not a cartoon, but that is an awesome series. Okay?
Look, man. Justin, you're demerit, bro.
He's pushing it right
demerit,
now.
Demerit, man.
That is demerit.
You got it. This is the old Red Fox line. You got a tall order of lip. I got a short stack of patience. 723 here on 104.5 The Zone. Jay Martz and Ramon the Man Laughing. As usual, is Ramon Foster on Twitter at Ramon Foster. I'm Jason Martin at Jay Martin Radio. We welcome in. We have Pro Football Focus on every Wednesday. We've got Bruce Gradkowski today. He's on Twitter at BGradkowski5. Moan, that's your former teammate right there. Say hello.
Bruce, welcome to the show, man. I'm honored that you are here because you're on the other side like I am right now. We know being on the other side of being in the media, hey, it can be good and it can be bad, but you, sir, are a good guy, and now it's Brucey time.
Oh, man. Ramon, thanks for having me on, guys. You know, to wake up, talk to my guy, because it's hard. It's hard being retired now. You miss the locker room and the meetings and the camaraderie. So I'm glad to be on with you guys in Thundercats, man. That was my jam back in the
day.
Come
on, man. That's what I'm talking about. There we go.
See, I didn't catch all of it like that. If it's on somewhere, I'll have to look at it.
Come on, Mo.
Who said come on, Mo? Bruce, we got to open this up with a little bit. Since you are a quarterback and the Titans are going against a young quarterback in Gardner Minshew, is he there to stay, or if they don't go into tank mode, because you know, like I know, that's not on the players' minds. What do you see from Gardner Minshew and this organization moving forward?
Yeah, Ramon, that's a good question. I mean, you know how it is, being in the huddle, and Minshew is a guy that you would love in the huddle because you would think, this dude gives us a chance. And you wouldn't be thinking about his arm strength and how tall he is and all that, but it's like, man, when this guy approaches the huddle, his confidence, his swag, he gives us a chance, and he's able to extend plays. You know, the thing he has to do is continue to protect the football. He did a good job the other day. I think Jay Gruden's offense had a nice little game plan around him. And honestly, he's just like a young baller. Like, it's just, it's hard to wrap your head around because, you know, he doesn't look the part, right? So you're thinking, okay, this is fun now, but it's not going to last. Just like the Duck Dynasty last year, you know, everyone was on the bandwagon, you know, loved what the thought of it was. But at the end of the day, it's hard to be consistent week in and week out. But I think Minshew last week showed he was very efficient. He made good decisions and he naturally makes big plays when they're there. So if he continues to do that and the Jags are competitive, I don't see how you can replace him.
Bruce Gradkowski of Pro Football Focus, of course, 11-year NFL veteran, just like Ramon. An 11-year NFL veteran. When you watched Ryan Tannehill last year and what you saw on Monday night, have you seen enough in terms of just watching him from your expertise as a quarterback as well? Have you seen enough to just know that the Titans have made a good decision here in committing to him long term? Is this the guy that you thought he could have been even when it was going wrong for him in Miami?
I think this is a perfect setup for Tannehill. You know, he's got a head coach that believes in defense, run the football, play action pass. And if all those three things can come together, Tannehill could be very successful. And the thing you got to watch, though, the other night, there was a few plays that creeped up. You know, it was kind of like, Henry free released out of the backfield. So it was a five-man protection. And Tannehill got blasted right as he threw. And it didn't look like he had a sense of urgency. But to me, it looked like he was possibly hot and he wasn't aware. And then there was another one that he got a batted pass. And if the pass didn't get batted at the line of scrimmage, it possibly could have been intercepted. So those are the plays there that Tannehill's got to play clean games. He has to protect the football. He has to execute in the play action pass game. And if he does those things, he could be very successful. He had a tremendous year last year. I think he's a more than capable starting quarterback to get the job done and needs to be done, but you know, I thought it was a solid win the other night, and it's a game too. Like, you know, Ramon, you know, anytime you could sneak out of a week, especially week one, with a win,
yeah,
and then get to learn from the film, it's such a good feeling.
Yeah, that's what we were saying. So you want to start the season off right, or at least with a good taste in your mouth as far as getting a win. Ugly win, don't matter. You want to win. You speak about Tannehill getting sacked right there, and the Titans have a guy on the team now in Clowney. And I like to call him a disruptor. Everybody wants to call him a disruptor. The sack count is something that's always going to, you know, follow him a little bit. But as a quarterback, what's the worst situation to be in? You getting sacked or the hand in your face as you throw the ball? Because we saw that's what he gets a lot of, is hands in your face. And that can do a lot of things to the ball. What do you see as being the worst as a quarterback?
Yeah, I think, you know, that was a great addition with Clowney. You pointed out, man, I want to see Clowney be even more disruptive in the pass game. You know, he's really good against the run, and see what he could bring there. You know, I think Vrabel is a guy you'd love to play for, so I'm sure he's going to get more out of Clowney this year. And as a quarterback, with that hand in your face, man, that is something that, you know, those batted passes are so annoying because it's something you can't always control. And I wasn't one that always had batted passes, but anytime it did happen, the excuse, oh, he's a smaller quarterback, oh, he, you know, his release, oh, this and that. So there's always an excuse behind it, but those are the worst because when it does get batted, man, it just goes straight up in the air. And I just think of the play TJ Watt made the other day, coming off, you know, just feeling it out, just drifting back in quick game and making the interception against Daniel Jones on Monday night. I mean, that play was spectacular in the feel for the game. And as a quarterback, it's hard to see a guy pop out like that, you know. So those are probably the toughest ones.
Bruce Gronkowski, our guest, he's with Pro Football Focus. Bruce, in addition to what we've asked you so far, who stood out to you in a Titans uniform on Monday night? Who graded highly with you guys?
You know, I think, Derrick Henry, just him being back and just seeing it was like kind of a solid performance all around. I thought was pretty good. I mean, I just kind of want to see, you know, Corey Davis stepping up. You know, this team has to kind of operate that it's not going to be on one guy's shoulder. They got to put it together as a team, kind of like how they did last year, you know, and if they do that in all three phases through, offensively, defensively, and special teams, they're going to be a tough team to beat, you know, and I think Tannehill has to continue to make his plays. I mean, they did pretty good on third down the other night, their third down efficiency. So if they could be good in situational football on a team that plays smart football, you know, I was just kind of impressed, and I thought it was a pretty solid win. And if they could get the field goal thing right, be a tough team.
So, you know, now the NFL is in all sports, are very much into analytics and stats and scenarios. It's putting a number on a lot of things. Coach Vrabel was talking about them being good in the red zone. In Pittsburgh, we had, you know, 7 shots every day of practice. We do 7 plays from the 2-yard line in every single day to work on tight red zone. The Titans are going to be known as a run-first team, I think, for the majority of the year. The question I got for you is, since you're in the analytics side of this thing now, how important is it to be able to throw on the tight red zone or in goal line situation? Because the 2 scores that the Titans got was tight red zone throws.
Mm-hmm.
How do you see that evolving, or what do the numbers show as far as you being able to do that?
Yeah, I mean, that's important. And I think, you know, tight red zone or even, you know, in the middle of the field, people get lost of, you know, let's run the football, let's pound the ball, this and that. But, you know, for a quarterback, man, if you can mix the pass game in there and not just run on first down, run on second down, throw on third down, you know, it's now you're playing a downhill football game. Now it's easier on the quarterback. And that's same in the tight red zone. You know, the windows are a lot tighter. Throws and decisions have to be made that much quicker and faster and more efficient. And now when you're tight red zone, that's where the game plan set up, where you're not always just handing it off on first down and then, oh, let's try again on second down. Now you're stuck on third down. Like, oh, what do we do? Okay, let's rely on Tannehill to make a play. You know, that's tough for any quarterback. And that's why, you know, Ben used to tell us all the time in meeting rooms. He's like, man, if we went for it every fourth down and we threw the ball 4 times in a row, I mean, I'm going to complete at least one of them out of 4. you know? Mm-hmm. And so, like, the chances are just significantly more to do that. And especially, you know, when you have a guy like Big Ben, I mean, Tannehill, you know, is kind of a different player in a sense of what kind of offense he operates in. But I think it is very important to switch out the run and the pass and make sure you are utilizing that pass game in the tight red.
Bruce, when you look at Tennessee's opponent this week, Jacksonville, we were talking earlier in the program about, look, that was a really talented group a handful of years ago. It really wasn't that long ago. It was 2017 when they were having that run. But it seemed like a lot of me first guys. It wasn't guys that were necessarily playing for the good of the team, and they've jettisoned a lot of them. So they've lost some Pro Bowlers, but Minshew and the guys that are there right now, they seem to like playing together, and they seem to be in it as a unit. What do you think of Jacksonville? Because that had to be one of the surprises of the week, them being able to get past Indianapolis and Phillip Rivers on Sunday.
Oh, it definitely was, man. I was shocked, you know, but I was also happy. You know, Jay Gruden, their new offensive coordinator, I played with him in Cincy, you know, played for under his offense. And so I was impressed, but it just proves, too, that there's something about Minshew that just the guys like, and he's a good leader in that locker room. And I think they did a really good job. I mean, Minshew was 13 for 13 for 113 yards and 2 touchdowns. Without play action Sunday, you know, those are with, you know, without play action pass. So it just shows that he played very efficient. He was smart with the football. And then, you know, with for seeing Doug Marrone's comments that this, you know, he's closer to this team than he's been with any other team as a head coach. It just shows the point you're talking about. Now it's not as much individualized and not as much selfishness in the locker room. They're coming together as a team. And honestly, man, I think that culture, that environment, that's how you win. You know, when everyone buys into the common goal, you see Bill Belichick all the time. There's not one player bigger than the team. And I think that's the direction Jacksonville wanted to go. And now they're there. And it was kind of like, okay, you know, that was a cool win, but let's keep our eyes open and see if they can sustain this. Because I don't think anyone picked them, you know, even close to win in that division. So it'll be interesting to see how they fare the rest of the season. But I think right now it's just all about culture for them and guys, you know, pulling in a rope in the same direction.
What wins out most in your mind, talent or culture?
Oh, man, that's, you know, I think culture, you know, I think you definitely have to have talent, and that's the biggest thing. I mean, Ramon and I were up close to it with Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, Big Ben. I mean, there's so many weapons, Martavius Bryant in Pittsburgh. But Mike Tomlin is one of the best leaders I've been around. So the atmosphere and the environment was great to come to work every day, and he was able to manage all the different personalities, all the weapons we had, all the star players the right way to make the culture fine. And I think at the end of the day, you know, that precedes anything else. You know, you have to have enough talent, but at the end of the day, man, if you don't have guys working in the same direction, man, I just think that's a virus that seeps in, and that's not good for the team in the locker room.
When you look at the division, how do you look at the AFC South right now in terms of where Tennessee stacks up, and where do you think the Titans stack up against the rest of the conference? Most people look at Chiefs, Ravens, and then there's a bit of a drop off there, but Tennessee's probably in that next mix.
Yeah, I mean, I think I do think so. I mean, you know, when I looked at it and I think about that division, you know, man. I always look at the quarterbacks first, you know, and I think in that division, we're always thinking Deshaun Watson, and now it's Phillip Rivers over there. So to be honest, I'm like, okay, I think Rivers is going to have a really good year because he's back with Frank Reich. They're going to be, you know, they have the best offensive line probably in the league. And with that running game, man, I think the Colts. And then I'm like, okay, Deshaun Watson, you can't ever count him out. So I think they come in second, and then the Titans, and then the Jaguars fourth. But man, you know, that's why we play this game, and that's why it's so exciting. I love the storylines. I love watching to see how it unfolds, because talking about culture, I think Vrabel does have that, and he does build it. I think it was last year is really when I bought into the Titans, when I saw how Vrabel handled the situation with Marcus Mariota. and Ryan Tannehill. Yeah. And that did not detour the team and their goal and their focus. And so for him to be able to communicate it the right way, to put your draft pick that you drafted in the first round on the bench for Ryan Tannehill to do what's best for the football team, but also to not make that a big storyline in the locker room and to everyone buy in, that was impressive. And that's what has me being a Vrabel fan. So, you know, I have that list, you know, the order I just mentioned, but man, I would love to see the Titans continue to do what they do because I'm a huge Vrabel fan. So we'll see how it goes, but it's definitely a tough division with Deshaun Watson, Rivers. But if Rivers keeps turning the ball over like he does, they might not be a main problem anymore in the AFC South.
Moan is, that's what she said, guy.
Bruce knows that.
Bruce, when I say that, does that ring a bell to you?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and especially when it comes off the wall, you're not expecting it. That might be one of the best comments that could really turn your day around in a positive light when someone hits you with that when it's unexpected.
And see, that's what I was explaining to you know, the listeners that we have here. We in Pittsburgh, we had a culture of inclusion, of everybody just being able to be you, and that's one of the things I'm starting to see for sure being in the city from the Titans right now, man. And you speak about, you know, the Titans being one of those teams, Bruce, real quick, on a national scale, because you are a national media guy now, how do you view this organization moving forward? Because it's important, because you've seen the way it's run and I've seen the way it's run also. How do you see the respect coming towards this city and to this team?
I mean, I think you look at this team and this organization is a legit contender now. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Vrabel. I think, you know, I know he played the game, so he understands what it's like to be a player. So that locker room, the culture, the stuff we talk about is so important and vital. And that's what Vrabel brings. And when I think of the Titans now, I think of a team that's going to be disciplined, that's going to be tough, that's going to play good on defense, you know, all facets that you need to win a football game. So when I think of Vrabel and the Titans organization, they're on the right track, man. They have a solid veteran quarterback that's been around the game. And, of course, Ramon, you know how they had to keep my guy, Toledo guy, Logan Woodside, as the backup. So just seeing that makes me think they're going to be just fine.
Bruce, we appreciate it. We look forward to talking to you again sometime soon. Thanks for making time.
Thanks, Bruce. Yeah, thanks, we appreciate guys. It, man. We'll have Thank to tell the story. Boy. We'll have to tell the story next time when you came in a huddle and said it's Brucey time.
You know, my man. Thanks
Thank
for having
you, Bruce.
Me on.
That's Bruce Gradkowski, BGradkowski5 on Twitter. It's Brucey time. That's a demerit,
really,
what that is.
He's one of the coolest guys you will ever meet in your life, man, and you root for a guy like him, man. So it's good to see him on the national scene right now and what he's done so far.
We'll tell you, we'll talk about what he just had to say about the Titans when we come back. Also, maybe some unfortunate circumstances for both of us this week. Off air. We might discuss a little bit of that as well. And we'll take your phone calls. I see Austin's on the line. We'll get to you when we come back. 741, J-Mart and Ramon, 104.5 The Zone.
That's what she said.